Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. He's here with us to talk about management and leadership at USPS and what they need to do to get back on track. Hi, Tom. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Reuben.
Glad you're with us. So the USPS is deciding not to pay out some bonuses and performance awards, as you guys reported on Friday. You want to flesh out some of the details of that for us?
Sure. It's just the latest in a series of steps they've been taking over the past few weeks and months to try to keep costs under control this year. And that it's never a good idea to start paying out bonuses when you're having financial trouble. You can just ask anybody on Wall Street about that. So they've moved to curtail bonuses for the year, and that's on top of previous steps they've taken to suspend payments to the retirement system and to offer buyouts and to stop pre-funding, and they're seeking to stop pre-funding some of their health care obligations too. So it's in a long line of steps they're taking to really try to get their finances under control.
But none of this is really going to get them to balanced books, right, with $8 billion in losses that they're forecasting by the end of this fiscal year?
No, it doesn't look like they can make up the gap this fiscal year. They're already $2.6 billion in the hole, and again, projecting for things to get worse. So they're really trying to just stave off the worst of it.
So, I mean, where does USPS go from here? What big picture? I mean, this is stuff that takes care of this year, but they've got long-term systemic problems that they're going to have to figure out how to solve.
Yeah, they do, and they're in a very difficult position because within government, they're certainly the agency that runs most like a business. And going back to the 1970s, they were reorganized and restructured and have a lot more flexibility in terms of how they can operate. But that flexibility is very extensive for government, but it's much less flexible than your average private sector organization. There's a lot of steps they could take if they were fully private that they can't take now. For instance, they want to cut down on the number of days of delivery. They want to go from 6 delivery days to 5. And Congress has so far said, we're just not going to stand for that. So there are a whole range of cost-cutting moves they could make that they're just simply not allowed to make.
And another aspect that's pointed out in the magazine by Emily Long earlier this month is, they have this transparency aspect to their operations that really no private sector business. The quote is, it's chartered to act like a business and yet it's government and it has a requirement to be as transparent as possible. It's hard to be a business and to be transparent at the same time. It is. I mean, that's logical to me. It's hard to run an effective business when all of your strategic decisions are open to public scrutiny.
Right. They face layers of oversight that no business does. I mean, first of all, they're subject to many of the layers of oversight that private businesses have to do. They have to conform to Sarbanes-Oxley requirements, and they have a whole series of other requirements that regulators have to meet. But on top of that, unlike most private sector organizations, they've got Congress looking over their shoulder. They've got their own board of governors. They've got an inspector general. They've got GAO. They've got OMB. They've got OPM. There's just a long list of oversight individuals and bodies that have an impact on what they can do. And it adds up to a lot less flexibility than certainly they'd like to have.
And you might have a different read on this, but it seems like the mood in Congress right now, at least on the House side, especially in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, is toward more oversight, not less.
Yeah, I think that's right, although I think there may be some movement in terms of giving them a little bit more flexibility. Daryl Issa introduced a bill a couple weeks ago that would allow them to reduce the number of delivery days. Of course, the Postal Service is not entirely happy with that legislation because it also introduces some additional regulation on top of the regulation they've already got. And part of one of the aspects of it is it would set up sort of a military base closing commission type organization to look at shutting down postal facilities. And anytime you do that, anytime you have to say we have to have some outside entity look at these so that we can make sure they can sort of skirt the political system, then it just shows how little flexibility they actually have.
So there's a lot on the table as we've talked about, to ideas that would save the Postal Service lots of money. When are people finally going to find a solution that works for everybody and come to something that can really save the Postal Service? The Postal Service has forecasted that it's going to run out of cash by October.
Yeah, things are getting coming to a head, and that's why I think you're seeing a little bit of movement now, and there'll probably be some stopgap efforts made this year, and then maybe going into next year even more. I think that the dam is starting to break a little bit on these things, but you know, when it comes to government operations, just you know, you can look at the debt ceiling argument or anything else. Things can get pushed to a pretty far point before people really see the need to take action. So it's hard to know how much farther this could go.